Well, hey friends, thanks again for joining us today. I hope your new year is starting off better than you thought. But before we jump into our new series today, I want to remind you that we are starting a 21-day fast tomorrow, Monday, January 10th, and it's going to run through January 31st. And last week, I did a whole message about fasting where I explored different reasons for fasting, and I talked about the different types of fasts that people can take. And the fast that Jody and I have chosen is what is called the time of day fast. And we're going to be fasting every day from the sun going down until the, sun coming up till the sun going down. Basically, we'll be giving up breakfast and lunch every day for 21 days. And that's the fast that I would invite you to join us in unless you have a medical reason not to. But as I said, there's three other types of fasts that you could do as well. And if you haven't made up your mind about joining us on this journey, or you just need a refresher on fasting, I would encourage you to head over to our website at nextlevelchurch.org, and you can find it in the on-demand section. Watch that message and then join us on January 10th, tomorrow, in our 21 days of prayer and fasting. If you need some encouragement and you need some resources to help you along the way, there's a link on our events page where you can sign up and we'll send you some text and some email encouragement as we go through this journey together. You can do this. I know you can. Some of you need the breakthrough that comes through fasting, and all of us, we need the discipline that's formed in this practice. So don't just kind of push this aside, right? Take it serious and join us. I really want you to join us. Now, let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about this word here, change. Right? As we're heading into a new year, right? We're about 9 days in now. I know a lot of us are thinking about this word change right now. And if there's one thing that's constant in life, ironically, it's change. Seasons change, people change, governments change, animals change. The list can go on and on and on. Some of those changes can be positive and exciting, right? Like a promotion at work, the first warm day of spring after a long winter, or your team winning the World Series against all odds. Way to go, Braves, right? Some changes we can control, like choosing to study more or read more. We can change our diet or exercise habits. We can change our focus. We can even change our look, right? But there are other changes in life that we can't control. And those can honestly be some of the most painful experiences in life. The loss of a marriage or a relationship, unexpectedly being let go from your job, or having a child go through a traumatic accident. All of these experiences are changes in life and can bring about happiness or sadness, joy, and fear. And I'm sure we are all thinking about the things that we want or need to change in this new year. And in church, a lot of times what happens this time of year is we talk about change. And we'll spend a great deal of time talking about things that you should do, right? We'll talk about how you should maybe be more generous, which you should be more generous. You should serve more. You should serve more, right? Good things. Everywhere you go in life, somebody's telling you about something else that you should start or you should try. I get it. You need to try a new way of eating. Hey, you need to start this new workout. You need to begin a Bible study, and on it goes. But I would be willing to bet, if I were to sit down with you and say, hey, how did your last year go for you? A lot of you would say, well, we made it. It could have been a lot worse, but we made it. And I sense that for many of us, as we enter 2022, there is this sense of discouragement. It might be mild, like you're just kind of uneasy about the year ahead, or it might be pretty severe, like you just had such a bad year or 2 years that you're just expecting the sky to fall and cave in on you any minute. Discouragement can be a very tough thing. It holds us back from a lot of things that are good. So if you have this kind of busy, generally pessimistic outlook on life coming out of 2021, and let's say now in 2022, all of a sudden you want to make some changes, and that involves doing some new things, maybe some important things, it's going to be hard with that sense of discouragement. Maybe you've sensed that God's been moving in your life and encouraging you to grow spiritually. Maybe you've said this year, look, I really want to grow spiritually. This is the year for me. But then you also know, well, that doesn't just happen, right? You don't just drift into spiritual maturity. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort to get there. So you carve out the time. You have to carve out time to spend time with God and spend time in His Word. And there's probably some really good things that you want to do this year. But the reality is you're going to try to start those things amidst the backdrop of uncertainty and a general pessimism about the future. That's true of most of us. This is why we're doing this series. Because in this series, we're going to look at how we can overcome the discouragement. You know, that thing in you that says, today is not a good day to start something new. And begin to take steps towards the amazing future that God has laid out in front of you. And today, I want to talk about one of the best changes that you can make for 2022. To get there, if you have a Bible, I want you to go to Joshua chapter 14. And as you're kind of turning to Joshua chapter 14, let me set up some background of what is going on there. So in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb is recalling some events that had taken place 40 years prior. And those events occurred after God had released the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. We remember that story. Moses is leading them out of Egypt to what is called the Promised Land. And when they get just outside of this land that God has for them, they see that it's already occupied. So Moses sends 12 spies into the land to bring back a strategic report on the military strength and the weaknesses of the cities that are in the land. And Joshua and Caleb happen to be two of those 12 spies that are sent out. And when all 12 return, they give their report back to Moses. And 10 of the spies came back, and this was their report. And their report is found in Numbers chapter 13. Let's look at this real quick. Numbers 13, verse 31. These are the 10 spies. They said, "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers." And that's what they thought too. So basically, if you read it, what they're saying is, yeah, the land is really awesome. We can see why God would want us to live there, but we can't do this. There's no way that we can do this. That God has asked us to go in and conquer them, we can't do this. The odds are against us. This is a foolish idea. And what they're doing is they're reporting back based on their confidence. They're saying, we have extremely low confidence that we as a people can go in and take this land. It's beautiful, it's awesome, and we're glad God brought us here, but we can't do it. They report back based on their confidence, a very low confidence. Well, Joshua and Caleb kind of break away from the pack. The other 10, they say, no, we don't think that we can do this. But Joshua and Caleb, they say, we need to trust God. God is with us, and if God is with us and we trust Him, this can happen. Let's go take it. So that is the background for what we're going to read today. And what's interesting about this passage in Joshua chapter 14, this is 40 years after what we just talked about. 40 years after that event happened, Caleb is kind of recalling back to Joshua on that moment of faith that they had. So that's the setup. And let's read to you what Caleb has to say here in Joshua chapter 14, verse 7. He says, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions." Now remember that little phrase right there because it's important, and I'm going to come back to that in just a second. Verse 8, he says, "But when my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear, I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me." Now, this is where he talks about the promise. "He swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly." Verse 10, he says, "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. Now listen to this, he's 85. "I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle as I was then." All right? Now there's something in there that I just want to key in on that can really completely change the way that you approach your year ahead in 2022. And I think this could be really helpful, and here it is. As you think about the changes that you want to make in 2022, be driven by convictions, not confidence. Be driven by convictions, not confidence. Okay, back in verse 7, remember Caleb goes out of his way and he says, I gave a report based on my convictions. Remember that? The other 10 spies gave a report based on confidence. We don't feel confident that we can do this. But Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, we're not going to give a report based on our confidence. We're going to give a report based on our convictions. We believe that God is with us, and we believe that we can do this. Now, all 12 of them, they saw the exact same obstacles. They saw the exact same scenario. They give two completely different reports about what they believe they should do in that moment, because one is based on confidence and the other is based on conviction. Now, if you're really honest with yourself, most of the decisions that you make in life, right, in your relationships, in your career, school, whatever it is based off confidence. They're based on, do I feel confident that I can do this or I can pull this off? It's based on confidence. And where does that confidence generally come from? For most of us, the confidence comes from the approval of the people that are around us. That's why when you're making a decision, and actually this is wisdom, this is wise to do, you bounce it off other people. But sometimes you have to make decisions based on conviction rather than confidence. Maybe God is asking you to do something in 2022 that makes no sense from a confidence viewpoint. He's asking you to take something that seems so big and crazy that you are scared to death, and everything around you just backs up the reports that there is no way that you can do this. I get what it means to be scared by God's call on your life. In fact, I went through something similar. As a young 20-something, I was 21 years old, and I was in my fourth year of architectural studies when I felt God called me to full-time ministry. And it took some time. It really did. But I eventually got to the point of complete surrender when I told him, anything you want me to do, God, I am completely yours. And I am here to tell you that the relief and the peace that comes from giving God control and letting him call the shots is astounding. There's a verse in Proverbs that holds true here, albeit maybe different than you're told when you hear it sometimes. But in Proverbs chapter 3, it says this, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Notice that it says God makes our path straight. But when does he do it? He does it when we submit to him. We will all come to a fork in the road where we choose to either surrender to God or hold on to our own dreams in our lives. On the one hand, we can hold on to our fears of the worst possible scenarios. This is going to happen. It's going to be so bad if we obey God. But on the other hand, when God asks us to do something scary, I can choose to trust God's heart and that God loves me and I can rest in him, even when I don't understand all the details, and believe that he will give me the strength to be faithful even through the scariest of things. And you know what? Sometimes those fears are all in our heads. They might not even come true, or even if they do, we'll no longer be intimidated by them. As my story goes, I had no idea what my future would look like. All I knew is that I could no longer pursue the path that I was on towards a degree in design and construction and architecture. And I had heard this term my whole life without fully understanding what it means. And maybe you've heard it too. You hear people talk about this idea, calling. Calling. The topic of calling, it's a popular one in Christian circles, but it can bring a lot of fear and frustration to those of us who don't yet, like, I don't have it all figured out. I don't know what my calling is, right? Christians usually limit the definition of calling to mean a career, to be a missionary, or to go and be a pastor. But here's the truth. A calling is simply a tug on our heart by God towards a particular thing, anything. A calling is just your heart being drawn to something. A calling can be for a specific situation. It can be for a season of life, or it can be for a lifetime. when every person, right, we all have kind of a main calling to live a life of obedience to God, right? Each of us has that individual calling, but God also calls each of us to different things, such as relationships, jobs, ministries, cities, right, at different times in our life. Sometimes he calls us to start doing things, and sometimes he calls us to stop doing things. Sometimes he calls us to go, and sometimes he calls us to stay right where we are. And here is what I have learned in my life about this idea of calling. You don't find your calling. Your calling finds you. All right? You don't go out and find it. It'll find you. In the Bible story that we are reading today, Joshua and Caleb, they weren't looking to head out into the land of giants as spies, right? No one goes seeking what would be a deadly mission, maybe even a suicide mission. But the mission found them. I'm not sure that they were prepared, right? They were not ready. They could have had all kinds of excuses on why not to go, but their calling, God's mission, it found them, and God used them to change the trajectory and the direction of an entire nation. The majority were afraid, and they didn't want to move into the promised land. It was dangerous. It was deadly. And confidence said that there was no way that they could be victorious. But God put a conviction, a calling on Joshua and Caleb that God was with them. And with God on their side, there was nothing that was going to stand in their way. And when their calling found them, they chose to trust their convictions over confidence, and God brought the victory. When we notice God drawing us towards something, it can be scary. Honestly, it can. It feels so uncertain. Most of the time, it feels incomplete. Like, God, can you give me some more details? Can you fill in the blanks for me? I'm not sure how any of this can happen. I need more information. But it's not up to you to have it all figured out or to have all the details. Our only responsibility is to trust in God and choose convictions over confidence. And when we do that, the success is up to God. Now, here's where I want us to go today. I know that God has called each and every one of you for a reason. He has a plan for you here on earth. But some of you, your calling may not be immediately clear to you. Like, I don't know what it is, right? But God wants to show you. It will find you. Through the Holy Spirit, He will show you what His plan is for you, what your calling is from God. And if that's you, this 21-day fast that we're going to begin tomorrow is a great place to start and just be open to God's leading. But for others, you're already feeling God has drawn you to something. In your quiet times, your thoughts go there. And every time you think of it, your heart begins to race. And it's like something is pulling you towards it. I know what it's like. It's happened to me several times in my life. The first one is the one I mentioned earlier when I felt drawn to abandon architecture and head off to Bible college to study, become a pastor. The second time was in 1997. I had worked up kind of the pastoral career ladder, and I was the executive pastor at one of the largest churches in Florida. And my next goal was to sidestep into being a senior pastor of a large church when God stepped in and called me to go into church planting, which basically means you move to an area and you start a church with no money, from nothing, with no people. Not a great career move, right? And I wrestled with that decision for months before yielding to what God had for me. And then again, in 2007, I felt called to leave this ministry and to head into the business world where I had zero experience. By this time, I have a family now. I've got 3 children, and it was even scarier. What was I thinking? Like, no one's going to hire me. This is not going to work out. But again, I listened, and I moved my family here to Charlotte, North Carolina, and I joined and helped start a very successful consulting practice. And then again, in 2013, while I was in that successful business, being a business consultant, and we were attenders and members here at Next Level. I wasn't on staff in any kind of way. God called us to step away from business and into the leadership role here at Next Level. And from a confidence standpoint, this made no sense. I was doing very well, I mean very well in business, and the church was in the midst of one of the toughest times of transition that you can be in. In fact, what was going on here at this church was a seminary case study of what you should never step into as a pastor into a church. Don't take that church. But again, after a lot of prayer, I surrendered and stepped into this role. Why? Because I believe that God was not done with this church. In fact, that's the exact words I told the board in a meeting back in September of 2013. So I risked everything. I stepped into this role as lead pastor. And it was rough for a couple of years. Like, I didn't take a paycheck for 3 years. But I made a decision based on confidence that God was not done with this church and God was with us. And if God is with us, nothing can stand against us. And I am so glad that I made that decision. And back in 1991, when I made that first decision to follow God's calling and walk away from architecture, I had no way of knowing what that would look like 31 years later, but God knew. So my question for you, what unknown, scary thing is God asking you to trust him with? Whatever it is, it comes down to this simple question. Will you trust him with your life, with your plans, your home, your dreams, with your future? Will you trust that his plans for you are good and they're so much better than you can imagine right now? Will you trust in confidence or will you go with conviction? There were 12 men that God sent out to spy on the promised land. Let me read you these names. Obviously, at the top of the list is Joshua and Caleb. But there was Shamoah, Shaphat, Igal, Palti, Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Sethur, Nabi, and Geuel. Now, I probably butchered those names. But here is the list of the names that were sent out to go spy on the land. I wonder, how many of you know someone who is named one of their children, Joshua or Caleb, right? Probably a lot of you. Maybe some of you have named your kid Joshua or Caleb. Does anyone know anyone with any of these other 10 names? Probably not. What's the difference? They all went on the same mission. They all had the same calling. They all saw the same things. But Joshua and Caleb were the only ones to trust in conviction. The other 10 followed their confidence, and they stepped back from the calling. They slipped into thinking, this is crazy. We could never do what God has asked us. The odds are against us. Let's just keep doing what we've already been doing. Maybe another opportunity will come. They went with confidence, and they missed what God had for them. I don't know what God's calling is for you specifically, but I know he is calling you to complete surrender. It may be something that God is calling your family to do. It could be something in business. It could be that God is calling you to step into a volunteer role here at Next Level. It could be that God is calling you to step out into faith and begin giving 10% of your income back to him. That's crazy. It could be that God is calling you to start a ministry to a group of people. Our auto repair ministry that works on single moms' cars here began with just one individual or a couple of individuals with a calling to work on single moms' cars out in the parking lot. Hope Match began with God's calling to Aaron and Brian to spend their bonus check buying Christmas for a couple of families. I don't know what God may be calling you to do, but I do know if you're feeling drawn to something, you have a choice. You can go with confidence. Right? I am sure that confidence would say what your spirit feels is crazy, that there is no way that you can do it, that you don't have enough details, or you can go with conviction. If God is calling me, then he is with me. And if God is with me, I have all I need. I love this quote from D.L. Moody, where he says this, "The world has yet to see what God will do with a person fully consecrated to him." I know that this kind of change seems scary. I know it's full of doubt, but I also know surrendering everything you have to him and embracing his plans for you is the best possible way to live. And here's what I want us to do now. I'm just going to be quiet. And I'm going to ask our band to come and play some background music. And while we are sitting in the quiet, If you're someone that feels God is pulling you towards something, I want you to do a very brave thing. And I get that this is scary, but I want you to cement this moment in your memory. If you've been feeling God pulling you towards something, if you came here with someone today, here's what I want you to do. If you're sitting with someone who came in, or you're there watching and listening to this and sitting with someone, I want you to turn to that person and simply say what you're being called to. I want you to speak it out loud. And if you're here alone, or you're alone in your car or something, I still want you to say it out loud. I want you to hear yourself saying what you feel God is calling you to do. Take a few moments to do that. And again, I get that this is scary, right? I get that it may be feeling uncomfortable, but if you take this step, it starts you heading in the direction that God is calling you to. So if you're feeling called or drawn to something, speak it out loud. Don't just sit there. Let's take a moment and let's do that together. Guys, if you take these steps, I strongly encourage you to join us on our 21-day fast. Use that as a time to read scripture, to meditate on God's word, to journal. Use this as a time to let those deep truths sink into your soul. And then you kneel down before God, surrender everything to Him. Don't hold anything back. And every morning, just make it your prayer. Here I am, Lord. I am yours. Do whatever you want with me. And then just watch and see how God will move powerfully in and through your life. That will be quite the story to tell. Hey, let's pray together. God, we come to you right now, each and every one of us, especially those of us who are feeling your drawing right now. We're going into a new year where we want to be excited. We want to make plans for all kinds of new and exciting things. But Holy Spirit, I pray that we will be most excited about what your plans are for each one of us here. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give us the strength to overcome our fears, and instead of being so driven by confidence, that maybe we would be driven by conviction. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Well, hey, friends, thanks for joining us today. If you haven't decided yet, could I encourage you one more time to join us for our 21-day fast that begins tomorrow and runs through January 31st. And unless you have a medical condition that would prevent you, I would like to see you join my wife and I in fasting breakfast and lunch, right? And if you need a Bible reading plan or want some encouragement via text or emails as you kind of go through this journey, you can go over to our events page on our website at nextlevelchurch.org/events. Click on that prayer and fasting button that's there, and you'll be able to join us, and we'll send you all of that information. And if you think today's message might be valuable to someone, could you do me a favor and share this video with them? Not only could it be helpful for them, but in sharing this content, as well as liking and subscribing to this channel, you help us accomplish our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus. And again, along those lines, could I ask you to head over to our website at nextlevelchurch.org/give and choose one of the giving options that's there. I want you to know we have a lot of great plans for 2022, and we need your faithful support in order to implement those plans to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play. Could you do that for us? Now, by way of benediction, let me read to you that verse again in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." May you this week submit yourself to the Heavenly Father And as you do, may He make your calling clear and your paths straight. Hey guys, have a blessed week. We'll see you all this week on Facebook and Instagram. We'll be sending you text messages and emails as we go through this fast together. Just know, I'm praying for you, and I love you.